water, food and life-saving health and humanitarian supplies cannot be urgently delivered to the Gaza Strip amid complete blockage of the territory. Meanwhile, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Friday, 14th of October, that the situation in Gaza has reached a dangerous new low after Israel warned 1.1 million residents of northern Gaza to flee south to southern Gaza following days of near-constant airstrikes on the embattled territory. Antonio Guterres said, after days of airstrikes, the Israeli army has ordered the Palestinians in Gaza City and its surroundings to move to the south of the territory. He added, moving more than 1 million people across a densely populated war zone to a place with no food, water or accommodation when the entire territory is under siege is extremely dangerous and in some cases simply not possible. Guterres added, hospitals in south of Gaza are already at capacity and will not be able to accept thousands of new patients from northern Gaza. He added, the health system is on the brink of collapse. Morgues are overflowing. Many healthcare staff have been martyred whilst on duty, and there have been tens of attacks on health facilities in Gaza in the past few days. The United Nations Secretary General called for immediate humanitarian access throughout Gaza so that we can get fuel, food and water to everyone in need. Antonio Guterres added, even wars have rules. International humanitarian law and human rights law must be respected and upheld. Civilians must be protected and never used as shields. Also, United Nations Aid Chief Martin Griffiths said, the order to evacuate 1.1 million people from northern Gaza defies the rules of war and basic humanity. Martin Griffiths added, Gaza is under intense bombardment, roads and homes have been reduced to rubble. There is simply nowhere safe to go in Gaza.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
Date February 11th, 1983. Our beloved combatants must not regard the victory other than it being a result of divine assistances. It is here that Allah will continue granting His favors and you will continue the combat and the honorable war for the defense of Islam and the Islamic homeland, and by the will of the blessed and Almighty attain the final victory. Now that by the grace and favor of Allah, the environment in Iran has been cleared of the dust of mischief of the mischievous elements, these false claimants to being supporters of the masses and the people, who with their own hands revealed their dirty faces.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. About the subject of performance of obligation, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, for us, the important thing is that we perform our duty. This speech of our Imam is about the significance of performing religious duties. You know, it is a great sin to omit or not to perform any single obligatory religious duty. You know, it is a great sin to omit or not to perform any single obligatory religious duty which has been made obligatory. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who omits prayer intentionally has indeed gone out of the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said in that regard, the Almighty Allah shall not cast a glance of mercy upon one who leaves a wajib duty or an obligatory duty or commits a greater sin, and he shall not cleanse him of his sins. The narrator asked in surprise, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really not look at this person with mercy? Imam alayhi salam replied, this is because he has become a polytheist, assigning a partner. Did he really become a polytheist? Asked the narrator in astonishment. And Imam alayhi salam continued, this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued a command and shaitan had issued another. This person neglects Allah's command and accepted the order of shaitan. Thus, this person shall abide in the seventh layer, where abide the hypocrites of hell with shaitan, because he has obeyed the latter. In of these words of Imam alayhi salam imply that polytheism here denotes polytheism in obedience. And Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi wants us to know that under any circumstance, we should perform our duties, since neglecting these duties and leaving them would have the most dangerous effect on us, and along with the harms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be displeased in that way. Okay, dear listeners, for ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi about the performance of obligation. Well, in that regard, he said, for us, the important thing is that we perform our duty. Thank you very much for listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell. And may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, speaking the truth and abstaining from falsehood in our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is a blessing to be here at your service, dear friends. We are talking about speaking the truth and abstaining from falsehood in our Islamic lifestyle. Now, of course, as many of you know, that speaking the truth is something which is wajib, it is obligatory, and abstaining from falsehood is also something that is wajib and it is obligatory. Of course, many times in our life we are faced in situations where perhaps we want to lie or we want to cheat. Now, it is these times in our lives when we have to make this decision between telling the truth and lying that, of course, we must tell the truth. Now, sometimes, of course, these kind of things vary. It's not always, you know, a clear-cut black and white. Somebody comes and says, tell me the truth, you know, am I ugly? And you say, well, you know, yes, you're ugly. Now, that, you know, this is not what we're talking about. This is not the situation where, you know, it's, no, somebody comes and tells, you know, asks you, tell the truth. Did you cheat on the test? And then you say, well, no, I didn't cheat when you did cheat. Now, this is a different situation. So we kind of have to have the basira and the acumen and the intelligence and the insight to know, you know, what exactly we're talking about when we're talking about truth and lies or truth and falsehood, you know. But when we do understand this type of thing, and, well, another thing on the whole ugly episode, well, sometimes those things are, you know, they're relative. Somebody might be ugly to me, they might be beautiful to somebody else. So we're not talking about relative truth. We are talking about those aspects which are absolute truth and falsehood. We continue the discussion after the break. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how we should stick to the truth and we should abstain from falsehood in our Islamic lifestyle. Now, as you've known or as you could tell, many of these discussions are things that are quite, you know, complex in the sense that there's a lot of variables. As the variables change and the instances change, the situation changes, well, you know, the overall equation kind of changes a little bit. But overall, the line that must be followed is to always stick to the truth and always abstain from falsehood, from lies, from cheating, from deceit, from corruption, and from misguidance. So in our Islamic lifestyle, this should be a fundamental thing. Always tell the truth, you know. Now, that doesn't mean that you tell the truth, you know, to another person that will hurt their feelings and cause them to go into depression, you know. You know, if somebody says, tell me, am I fat? And you say, yes, you're incredibly fat. That's not what we're talking about. Matter of fact, that might not really be telling the truth. And there's ways to tell the truth. You can very well say, you know, perhaps you should eat a little bit healthier. Perhaps your weight is not as healthy as it should be. You know, perhaps you should go and ask a doctor who can give you professional medical advice. I mean, there's ways of telling the truth, you know. But in some instances, you have to tell the truth the way it is. I mean, for example, there are certain powers in the world which are colonial powers, and they're totally destroying the planet. This is the truth. There's no, you know, beating around the bush about it. And so, again, as a fundamental principle, we have to live by the truth, stick by the truth, and if need be, die by the truth. And on the other hand, we need to abstain from falsehood at all costs so that we can live and attain that pure and blessed Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
in the limelight.
A clutch of moderate House Democrats are offering a deal to Republicans to end the fight to choose a new Speaker of the House. The moderate House Democrats are proposing to expand the powers of the temporary Speaker. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. A small group of moderate Democrats called for the expansion of the power of the Speaker pro tempore, Patrick McHenry, as House Republicans take the weekend to see if their second Speaker nominee in 3 days, House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, can win over the dozens of lawmakers in his own party who are blocking his path to the speakership. 4 Democrats, all of them members of the bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus, wrote to Patrick McHenry to propose that until a speaker is elected, his authority should be temporarily increased to bring specific legislation to the House floor, according to the letter which was obtained by CBS News. Measures covering 3 areas would be allowed under their proposal: emergency foreign aid for Ukraine, an extension of the existing continuing resolution to fund government through to 11th of January in order to prevent a government shutdown, and committee work in consideration of individual spending bills. The Democrats also included bills introduced under suspension of the rules. These measures are considered with limited floor debate without amendments or points of order, and they must pass with a 2/3 majority vote. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy brought the continuing resolution to fund the government until mid-November to the floor under suspension of the rules. The bill passed with the support of nearly every Democrat and over the no votes of 90 in the Republican conference, prevented a government shutdown, but ultimately cost Kevin McCarthy his speakership. The Democrats, Representatives Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, Susie Lee of Nevada, Ed Case of Hawaii, and Jared Golden of Maine, also suggested that the expansion of authorities should be renewed every 15 days. It is likely that the measure would require a bipartisan vote, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries has yet to weigh in with his views on the proposal. The New York Post has also covered the same story and tells us more. A clutch of moderate House Democrats are offering a deal to Republicans to end the chamber's fractious fight to choose a new Speaker of the House. The House has been leaderless since Republicans deposed Speaker Kevin McCarthy in a coup last week. Multiple GOP Speaker candidates have so far been unable to form a working coalition among their colleagues. In a Friday, 13th of October letter to House Speaker pro tempore Patrick McHenry, Republican of North Carolina, obtained by the New York Post, 4 Democrats said they would be willing to grant him limited powers in an effort to restore basic government functions. The 4 moderate Democrats were Representatives Josh Gottheimer, Democrat of New Jersey, Ed Case, Democrat of Hawaii, Susie Lee, Democrat of Nevada, and Jared Golden, Democrat of Maine. All are members of the House's bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus. In light of our nation's pressing issues, a looming government shutdown, and the attacks on our key ally, we strongly support an immediate vote to expand the Speaker pro tempore's authority to all for the consideration of a legislative agenda limited to the most pressing issues, the letter read. The issues identified by the Democrats were foreign aid and emergency supplemental funding for Ukraine and for Israel, an extension of the current continuing resolution funding the government until 11th of January, and consideration of remaining House appropriations bill for fiscal year 2024. The quartet of lawmakers additionally said the emergency powers would only be granted for 15-day increments until a permanent Speaker of the House was chosen. The government cannot continue to be hamstrung, leaving American families and our economy and national security at risk. We hope you'd agree that we must restart the business of the House of Representatives without delay, the letter added. The House Republican Conference has been unable to coalesce behind a candidate for the job. After winning an internal House vote this week, House Majority Leader Representative Steve Scalise was unable to win over enough opponents to secure the gavel in a vote for the floor, where he can only afford to lose four of his colleagues. He withdrew from the Speaker race on Thursday, 12th of October. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, the firebrand chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, won a vote among his colleagues for the job on Friday. While Jim Jordan is a favorite among conservatives, he has struggled to win support among moderates and appears to have an even harder wall of opposition than Steve Scalise. One House GOP insider dismissed working with Democrats as West Wing fan fiction, but warned that Jim Jordan had at least 20 hard no's among his colleagues. If he fails to consolidate support early next week, who knows what's going to happen next?
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, my dear sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the world. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, I'm Asma.
And I am Bita here again. There is this narration from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which is really interesting. Never look at what is in the hands of others and do not compare your life with the life of others, because the sorrow of a person will be long and his regret will not end, and the blessings that God has provided for him will be small, and as a result, he will be ungrateful. So always look to your below creatures. This is really interesting because we have two different comparisons. Sometimes we are comparing our life, our everything, with someone who has a kind of higher level of living in compared to us.
They're living on the upper hand.
Exactly. And we, at the other side, we have these kind of people that are lower hands of our life. And this is a kind of comparison which is accepted in Islam.
Yeah.
It means that you have to compare yourself to someone which is inferior to you and see your blessings, see your potential, and then work on that. So what do you think with all these concepts of comparing yourself
that's
to others?
That's very true, but I would say that sometimes in order to achieve improvement, you have to look upward in order to see how much of things you have to work on. Intellectually speaking, if we want to use our brain more and more, I would say that you should have one eye on the upper levels and one eye on the lower levels.
in order to get a little bit of both of them.
I get it.
Well, when you look upward, you're going to see too many things. And at the same time, your head is going to ache.
Yeah.
If you look downward, maybe you see some sad things. But then you're going to get the treasure of their lives, which is contentment and satisfaction. You know, there are many people who lived the life of a wealthy, well-mannered, well-educated, everything well done. But then the thing that is lost in their life is just hidden from my sight. But I can get it that, okay, they do not have peace. They do not have this. They do not have that. All of the mental things maybe they lack. Well, I know that there are many people out there, many youngsters who would say, okay, these are the same gibberish that everyone says, that those people who have money, they do not have peace, they do not have this, they do not have that. Well, yes, I might agree to some extent that not all that we hear is just the whole truth, but trust me, it is a part of the truth.
Yeah,
you know?
I get it.
Sometimes it's not just about wealth. I'm not talking just about that. There are some professors, some great scholars who have been going through the excessive amount of knowledge, but then when you go a dip into their lives, you see they lack many things.
You know, here I have 2 points, you know, following whatever you've told up to here. At first, you shouldn't compare the truth of your life with the appearance of other people's life.
We should write that with gold.
It is really important because what you see from other people's life is not exactly what their life is.
Exactly.
Okay, just keep that in mind because unfortunately, because of the social medias and so on, we always, every day, are seeing the picture, the beautiful picture of everybody's life.
Yeah.
You know, they have money, they have beauty, they have everything. And, you know, it may feel like we lack so much.
Exactly.
And this feeling of not being sufficient, not being enough is killing us these days, unfortunately. So it was the first point I wanted to mention. The other one is you have to look at yourself. There are a group of people who, you know, this feeling of jealousy is kind of highlighted in them.
Yeah.
So if you think you are from that group, you have to maybe have the majority of your attention on lowering their levels. And if you are that kind of person who, you know, needs a kind of motive, needs something to force you to go forward, to be more successful, then it's the time that you can look at the people who are higher than you.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, we want to go for a break,
exactly.
But before that, I'll just give you a hint about what we're going to talk about in the next part of today's episode, which is the first step when the comparison starts. What happens for us when we get into that trap?
Nice.
Well, this is Youth Station. Bita and I were talking about comparison, the thing that happens in everyone's life, I suppose, at a certain time, eventually you'd come to say, okay, why the other person does not get sick, but I always get sick? Why the other person has got too much of blessings, but I have to fight for every step of my life? There are many whys in this world that you do not have the answer to them.
You know, but I think, unfortunately, sometimes we lost a track of 2 things in our lives. And this is why we ask so many whys. And these 2 things are, at first, the wisdom of Allah Almighty, or hikmat, which there is
the
a reason.
Actually.
Yeah, there is a reason before everything. If you have less money than your friend, there should be a reason. I don't mean you can justify your laziness, your lack of work, your whatever with these. No. I mean, if you are trying your best to achieve something and you don't, there may be a reason. And it reminded me of this beautiful verse that there may be something that you may think it is good for you and it's not. And there are something that you may think is bad for you and it's for your good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to always keep that in mind. There is a reason.
Why do we get into comparison?
Exactly, this is the reason. Why? Because we lose the track of the reasons. if you are comparing yourself to other people, it means that you find something bothering you. You find something annoying you. You feel it kind of lacking your life in your way, okay?
Yeah.
This is the reason. Why do you feel like that? Because you feel insufficient. And this feeling of insufficient comes from the point that you don't believe in this all reasoning thing.
Sometimes you have many things, you don't lack any special thing, but then still you compare yourself with other people, even with people who are lower than you. You know what I mean? Because we have seen such people in our lives. See, we have it in our Islamic heritage that comparison is the first trick of Satan to get you into problems and sins.
Yeah.
So if I do not compare myself to my friends, to my neighbors, to anyone around me, then I would not go for plotting against them. Then I would not stab them in the back. Then I would not wish them anything wrong. Then I won't do many things.
You know what? This comparing itself is not harmful. The things that it will become after this, like jealousy, like greed, you know, these are the blames.
I would say comparison by itself is problematic. You know, you say comparison by itself does not have a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would say even by itself it has a problem. You know, I usually say that what happens to a human being when they come out of their own self, out of their own world, and then start comparing themselves with another person.
But you need to do that. You know,
when I start the process of comparing, I do not keep it in mind that, okay, that person is not the same with me regarding capacity, regarding the setting they're living in, regarding the background they're coming from, regarding the education they have been through. Many things, you know, there are many factors. If I want to compare myself with someone else, it is very much important for them to be in the same level as me in everything. And it's impossible for someone else to be me.
You know what? I think this comparison story, it really depends on the person you are comparing yourself with. I mean, we all need a kind of standard role model to put there and compare ourselves to them, to find out whatever we like, find out whatever we need to achieve in order to be like them. So I think you have to find the right person to put in a place to be compared to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important. You cannot just compare yourself to everybody. Like, I don't know, the rich man who is sitting in a, I don't know, BMW or something, is not the best person you have to compare yourself to, okay?
Exactly.
But
even a celebrity.
Yeah. But, you know, but I think there are times that this comparing is a blessing. And if it wasn't like for comparing myself to other people, then I wouldn't get to this level.
Yeah. So comparison most of the time leads to jealousy.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a trauma in your brain and in your soul. It would actually get into your heart and darken it, you know?
Yeah.
It would just make you as gray and black as possible. So I guess it's better to stop it from the very first point. You are yourself. Do not compare yourself with anybody else.
To some extent, I do agree with that sentence. Do not compare yourself with everybody. But there may be some, I don't know, some people who are good to be compared to.
Ah, yeah, I now get what you're saying.
Yeah.
See, sometimes, as in the worship and as in the virtues, when you see some other people, you should compare yourself with them and see how close to them you are in the virtues and in the worshiping processes that they go through. So there are some people who are very much good in their manners. Do I compare myself to them and say, why I am not as good as they are? Why shouldn't I just work on myself to attain that much of virtue in my personality?
And this is a good inspiration, I think, for being better. And from the other side, the darkest part of the story that you mentioned, it may lead to jealousy or somewhat. We have this inferiority complex, which I'm going to talk about it after a short break. So stay tuned, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So we were talking about this comparison story and stuff, and we came to this point of inferiority complex. Unfortunately, one of the basic reasons that people compare themselves to other people is exactly that they feel inferior.
Yeah.
Okay? When you feel like you lack something, you are inferior in compared to other people around you, you will just compare yourself more and more and more.
Exactly.
And you're trying to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
In order to lessen and alleviate this kind of feeling of comparing yourself, but it's not a solution, you know? And you try to be like them more and more and more in order to solve it, but you are just making it worse.
But you're forgetting the fact that we are living life in this world is not just like a competition. You're living your own life. You must actually imagine that you're alone in a world that is all planned there for you. Do not bring others into your story. It is your own story. Do not copy another person's life. Do not copy another person's character. Be yourself. If you just come to this notion that, okay, I am who I am, and I must be the one I am, you won't compare yourself with others.
You know, taking the gist out of it, I think you have to put a standard for yourself, for your life. And this standard is the satisfaction of Allah Almighty.
Exactly.
When you put His satisfaction first in your path, then you will do something. You will compare yourself to the people who is in the same path as you are. And they may be actually forward you. They may be better than you.
Improve your character and personality. See, when you compare yourself with materialistic issues, maybe you'd grow materialistically. But then if you compare yourself with metaphysical stuff, like mentally, like as in your soul, spiritually, when you compare yourself with others, then maybe you improve. We say you shouldn't compare yourself with others. And the reason is, everybody has got a destiny and everybody has got a capacity of their own.
Exactly.
And the end of the day, at the day of judgment, you're not going to be judged by, okay, how much you copied other people's life. No, at the end of the day, you're going to be judged by how much you worked on yourself and how much you try to know your capacity and work accordingly.
Exactly. And about talking about this capacity, we have this verse in Holy Quran that Allah Almighty don't put, a kind of heavier burden than what you are capable of.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for listening to us, dear listeners.
Yes.
And I bid you farewell.
Yes, and I bid you from my own side. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shatayeh has slammed the genocide of the people trapped in the besieged Gaza Strip by the Zionist regime. Shataya said, speaking at a press conference in Ramallah recently, our people in Gaza are going through genocide and Gaza has become a disaster area. Shataya said the world should take a clear stand against the regime to stop its doctrine of killing, burning, erasure and genocide of the Palestinians. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, UN human rights experts warned recently Palestinians in Gaza face mass ethnic cleansing as Israel orders half the population of the densely populated strip to evacuate amid continued aerial bombardment and dwindling resources on the ground. UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albani said, in the name of self-defense, Israel is seeking to justify what would amount to ethnic cleansing, noting that Israel has already carried out mass ethnic cleansing of Palestinians under the fog of war. She warned, there is a grave danger that what we are witnessing may be a repeat of the 1948 Nakba and the 1967 Naxa, yet on a larger scale. Referring to the Zionist regime's mass expulsions of at least 1 million Palestinians from their homes and land in 1947 to 48 and 1967. She added, the international community must do everything to stop this from happening again. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees warned recently that its shelters in Gaza are not safe anymore, adding that the area's 2.3 million residents were rapidly running out of water. The Zionist regime shut off electricity to Gaza following the Hamas attack, recently compounding the humanitarian crisis in the territory, which has been under an illegal blockade since 2007. According to the Electronic Intifada, UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that it would not evacuate its schools in northern Gaza being used as shelters for displaced people. More than 170,000 people were sheltering in UNRWA shelters in the area under the evacuation order, an agency spokesperson told the media. We are extremely worried indeed about the safety and security of over 1 million people who are in North Gaza right now. The agency's Commissioner General Philip Lazzarini warned that the forced evacuation will only lead to unprecedented levels of misery and further push people in Gaza into the abyss. UNRWA said that the scale and speed of the unfolding humanitarian crisis is bone-chilling. Gaza is fast becoming a hellhole and is on the brink of collapse. The Electronic Intifada added, Palestinian human rights groups also widely employed the language of genocide for the first time on Friday, October 13th. Brad Parker from Defense for Children International Palestine said, Israeli officials' statements combined with widespread and systematic attacks carried out by Israeli forces in the Gaza Strip raise extreme concern that this is now a campaign of genocide against the Palestinian people. Parker added, Israeli military assaults have reached an intensity where they are seemingly intended to deliberately kill large numbers of Palestinians in Gaza, and combined with Israeli total closure policies, show the aim is to destroy Palestinian life in Gaza. Ayad Abu Akhtesh, a program director with Defense for Children International Palestine, said, The international community led by the U.S. and European Union are actively enabling the Israeli military to carry out a second Nakba and eradicate the Palestinian people. Genocide is one of the most serious crimes under international law and can result from killing or by creating conditions of life that are so unbearable it brings about the group's destruction, the rights group said. The Zionist regime military and political leaders made additional statements declaring their intent to perpetrate genocide in Gaza. Meanwhile, RT reported a Reuters videographer has been killed in southern Lebanon by the Zionist regime forces. Al Jazeera and Lebanese security sources said six other journalists were injured in the incident. The group was hit by Israeli regime artillery. Reuters said in a statement, "We are deeply saddened to learn that our videographer, Issam Abdullah, has been killed." Abdullah was providing a live video feed from near the Israeli regime border. At the time of his death, the agency continued, adding that it is urgently seeking more information from authorities in the region. Reuters journalist Tayer al-Sudani and Maher Nazeh were wounded in the same incident, while Al Jazeera's Ili Brachia and Carmen Jodadar and Agence France-Presse Christina Ossi and Dylan Collins were also injured. It is unclear whether all six were hit by the same shell or by different projectiles of the Zionist regime. A Lebanese security source told AFP that the Zionist regime forces were responsible and Al Jazeera blamed the incident on Israeli bombing. Around the time of the incident, the Zionist regime forces IDF said that its troops were responding with tank and artillery fire to shooting from Lebanese territory. Recently, the IDF said that an explosion had occurred at a barrier along the border near Alma al-Shab, a Lebanese village where the news crews were reporting from. The IDF said its forces responded to the explosion with artillery fire. Abdullah's death brings the number of journalists killed since the start of the conflict on Saturday, October 7th, to 11, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. Of the 10, 9 died in the Zionist regime airstrikes on Gaza, while one Israeli photographer was killed at Khabuz Nahalos in southern occupied territories.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. First of all, Imam Khomeini was a divine man. He was a unique divine person who, along with his knowledge, thought, experience, and maturity in various areas, possessed a clear soul and spiritual purity. Therefore, his words were influential. For example, consider when he said, Pave must be rescued. I heard this from Mustafa Chambran, who said, as soon as Imam Khomeini's message was broadcast on the radio at 2 p.m., they were under siege in Pave and the enemy had surrounded them. As soon as this message was broadcast, although no forces had yet arrived and perhaps they had not even been deployed, we saw that the way had opened up around us. These words were effective in themselves. I heard this from Chambran himself, our dear martyr.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Or when the late Imam Khomeini said, the siege on Abadan must be broken. There was no question about this. The siege was broken. In various instances, for example, in the case of Susangerd and the conflict over the attacks on Susangerd, there were questions about whether we should go there to defend it or not. There were problems with regard to it. When Imam Khomeini's message came via mediator, the issue was resolved. We had a commander like him whose words were so influential and benefited from spirituality, purity, and a strong spirit. Furthermore, there was the religious color of the sacred defense, the religious color. When there is a religious color, what happens is that this young man takes action while eagerly awaiting martyrdom. Read the biographies that have been written about the martyrs. They set out with the hope of being martyred. They would cry because they wanted to go to the battlefield in the hope of becoming a martyr. This is what happens when there is a religious color. The families of these young men, their fathers, mothers, and wives, would give their approval and send them to the battlefield for the cause of God.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Hundreds hit the streets of Istanbul to show solidarity with Palestinian people. The demonstrators condemned Israeli atrocities against Palestinian civilians and the siege imposed on the Gaza Strip. People chanted slogans against the United States, European Union, and Israel, accusing them of committing crimes by depriving Palestinian citizens living in Gaza from electricity, water, and medical supplies. They also condemned Israelis' bombardment of the blockaded territory, which has so far resulted in the death of more than 2,000 civilians.
This state was built on bloodshed and forced migration.
They continue to commit the worst inhuman crimes, and the whole world is watching. They are doing it with the help of the Western imperial countries. We are here to call our government and Muslim countries to unite their efforts to end this occupation.
The pro-Palestinian protest comes amid Western countries' unwavering support for Israel. This is while countries supporting the Palestinian resistance are very few. Protesters voiced their anger at their governments, who did not take serious moves to stop the bombing of Gaza.
We came here today to say that Gaza and Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they are not alone. Even if our governments did not move a finger to stand with Palestinians, we as people will always stand with the Palestine cause, for it is a humanitarian cause before all. We are here to voice our support to the Palestine resistance, who are defending themselves and their people against Zionist crimes.
People from all walks of life, the elderly, women and children, attended the demonstration to pledge that the Palestinian cause is not political, but rather a humanitarian cause. They called the whole Muslim nation to stand up for Palestine.
We are here to defend our first Qibla, our brothers and sisters in Palestine who are facing ethnic cleansing by these fascist Zionists. We are certain that this land will be liberated no matter how much the US and West try. Palestine will be free and justice shall prevail. This is God's promise.
Saturday's rally is the second such a protest in Istanbul. It comes as Turkish officials are in touch with Egyptian authorities to facilitate the transfer of basic necessities, including food and medical supplies, to the people living in the Gaza Strip. People here called the government to take concrete steps to end the Israeli siege on Gaza and put an end to the regime's atrocities against innocent civilians. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians demonstrated across the occupied West Bank in support of their brothers and sisters in the besieged Gaza Strip and against Israeli airstrikes pounding the blockaded territory for almost a week. Thousands here in Ramallah poured out onto the streets after the Friday prayers, demanding the world not to turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Israel against the civilians in the long blockaded Gaza Strip.
It's a new stage in the ethnic cleansing of our people and a genocide. Our message to the whole world, the Palestinian people have the right to live, not to be killed. Immediate international intervention is required to end the massacres and end the Israeli occupation and prevent the current ethnic cleansing. We are all in the same boat, and we have the right to resist the Israeli occupation, granted by the international laws.
Hundreds of Gazans living and working in Ramallah have been among the protesters. All of them told us they feel helpless. All of them are worried about their family members. They fear that if their beloved ones die, they will not be able to see them. And they wish they were there with their family under the airstrikes, so they would die together.
Civilians are being murdered. We are not the terrorists. We are not the murderers of children. This war must immediately come to an end. My family, my wife, and my children are there in Gaza. Can you imagine how I feel? I cannot sleep. It's painful to stay here and watch without being able to do anything when the Israelis are committing all sorts of atrocities against my people.
I wonder if the world is watching the children and infants in Gaza being slaughtered. 20 children from Abu al-Hayat family were slaughtered. They were my family's neighbors. The situation on the ground is awful. What should I say? What sort of message can we deliver? What's happening is so difficult. Only Allah can save us. No one will save Gaza today but Allah.
Following the rally in central Ramallah, scores of Palestinians from all walks of life marched toward areas where Israeli checkpoints were located across the occupied West Bank. Thousands of protesters arrived at the Beit Il military checkpoint northern Ramallah and clashed with Israeli soldiers. The troops opened fire at the rally to disperse the angry protesters. The scenes of slaughter and genocide committed against civilians in the Gaza Strip is a proof that Israel is trying to wipe out the entire besieged territory. And if this happens, people here say they will face the same destiny. Muna Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Chants against the U.S. and Israel resonated through streets of Pakistan as angry protesters set their flags alight. People across Pakistan came together to observe Friday as a day of solidarity with the Palestinians, expressing their unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine. The gesture is intended to demonstrate Pakistan's commitment to the rights and welfare of Palestinian people. The streets of key Pakistani cities were filled with demonstrators condemning